But front and center, the Dolphins, the big move of the week outside of the draft was the trade during the draft in which they got Josh Rosen. So joining us now to discuss that and many other things is former Dolphins and Jets front office executive and now front office insider with ESPN, Mike Tannenbaum. Mike, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Fantastic.
First of all, what was it like for you instead of making, I don't know, career life or death picks every few minutes, and now you just get to sit back and critique everybody this past weekend? How was it for you?
700,000 people.
yeah. No, I appreciate it. You know, I had a great experience. You know, I've been around the league for 25 years, and it was the first time I was not actually in a draft room, and it was a great experience. I was very impressed by the level of preparation that everybody in the media had. I learned a ton, happy to contribute, and it was a really good experience for me.
Well, good. We enjoyed your work, and we wanted to get you on, so thanks for joining us here today. Obviously, the big news in our neck of the woods was the trade that the Dolphins made for Josh Rosen. What did you think of that? And also, I'd like to ask you, since you were behind the scenes with the Dolphins last year, is it true, would you guys have picked Josh Rosen had the Cardinals not jumped ahead of you and taken him last year?
Yeah, so, you know, in terms of, you know, what the Dolphins did this year, you know, they obviously made a lot of sense. They were able to add a second-round pick for 2020 and get a player that, you know, a lot of teams, you know, had a high opinion of, including the Arizona Cardinals a year ago where they traded a third and a fifth-round pick to move up from 15 to 10, paid him a big signing bonus, and he played for a year and put some good, you know, film on tape, you know, went up, beat Green Bay, did a lot of good things, did really a lot of good things at UCLA, had a tennis in his background, has very good feet work, good athlete, good arm strength. So, you know, in terms of risk reward, you could see why, you know, the Dolphins would do that. You know, last year he was a guy that we put through the process like a lot of other players, and, you know, we'd always just make the best decision when it was our time to pick. So, but I could see why they did it, and, you know, they came away with, you know, a good player, gave, you know, they moved back from, you know, the mid-40s to 62 and got that extra pick and a player that they still control his cost for 4 years.
And, Mike, I'm interested, you know, your transition from, you know, a GM and front office, obviously a personnel guy, you know, to the media. One, how has it been difficult? And two, when a guy like, you know, Gettleman, which I'm sure you know, and makes a pick like that, a very controversial one, now you're in the media. Now you have to employ that constructive criticism. Did you find it difficult, difficult process for you being in the first year in the media doing that?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you asking that. Yeah, to be candid, you know, it's definitely, you know, a different point of view. You know, as far as me and my preparation, not much changed. You know, I watched tape, wrote reports, read reports, talked to people around the league to get other opinions to see if I was an outlier or not. You know, and really what I try to do for 3 days is just bring context of, hey, you know, here's, you know, obviously like going back to the Giants pick, they had a really strong feeling on Daniel Jones. You know, Dave Gettleman talked today about how, you know, he was, he not only went to the Senior Bowl, but he stayed for the game. And, you know, for the audience here, you know, 95% of the people that go to the Senior Bowl, they go to the practices and watch the players compete at practice, and hardly anybody stays for the game. And Dave Gettleman did stay. He thought that was, you know, another view of Daniel Jones. And, you know, if he was worried that he wasn't going to be there at 17, and look, if Daniel Jones turns out to be a great quarterback that they win a lot of playoff games with, no one's going to care if he went at 6 or 17. So it's, you know, when you're sitting in those seats, you want to get done when you want to get done, and you're going to get criticized no matter what, so you might as well do what you think is right. And if we look back in 3 years, we're going to see, you know, between Haskins, Drew Locke, obviously Kyler Murray, like, who's the best quarterback from this group? And really, you probably could throw Josh Rosen there because, for all intents and purposes, you know, the Dolphins took him at the bottom of the second round. And, you know, in 3 years, we'll see how that group plays out.
Mike Tannenbaum is with us, Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. What is it like, and I'll use the Giants as an example, what's it like when you're on the clock, you got your 10 minutes, you want your guy, people are calling, I'm presuming you're calling other people. You can't talk to all 31 other guys at the same time. What is that 10-minute window like?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, just to take you inside, you basically, you write down the name of the player you want, you give it to the person who's actually at the draft. you call the person that you think you're going to pick. Just you want to make sure that he's okay. You know, it's the proverbial, like, you didn't get hit by the bus in the last 24 hours. You're healthy. No new injuries. And then you literally, you sit there and you see if the phone's going to ring. Like, you may make a call or two around you, but, you know, if someone's going to want your pick, they're calling you. So, you know, we would typically, you know, just wait there until there was, like, you know, maybe a minute and a half left, just to make sure that there wasn't, like, some crazy offer that we couldn't refuse. So it's an interesting process to actually sit there and go through it. But you're prepared to turn the car. You just want to make sure that there's no, you know, better option.
Mike, I'm glad you're on today, because this is one question I really wanted to ask you the day it happened. Is last week when Mayock and Gruden send the entire scouting staff home and there's trust issues and all the, you know, I'm just blown away. I'm 52 years old. I'm from Massachusetts too. I've seen, you know, in all my life being in this business 31 years, I had never heard of that or seen it. I know a lot of scouts' contracts expire on May 1st to close, but I've never seen an organization send all their scouts home. Did you ever do that at all in any of your times with the Jets and the Dolphins?
No, I haven't, but I will say this, that, you know, as you get closer to making those decisions, you know, typically your meetings are getting with smaller and smaller amounts of people. So, and I think, you know, they kind of had their minds made up of who was going to be there or not there. And in some ways, they were trying to probably give those guys a heads up that, hey, if you want to start looking for other jobs, you know, in the scouting community, those jobs open and close very quickly this time of year. So I think they were trying to let them get on the front end of trying to get their next opportunity. So while maybe it wasn't as public or as noteworthy as, you know, other situations, you know, typically, you know, certainly the way I've always run it is, you know, it's a very open and it's a big process. But as you get closer, again, you know, you're getting down to a handful of people that you're actually in the room making the decision. And I usually refer to these positions as, like, you're truly the point guard of information. You're making sure that the owner, the head coach, you're all on the same page, especially, like, if you're going to be making a big trade and, you know, if you're going to be going after a player or two and it's going to cost you a lot of draft capital, that's going to come from somewhere else. So, again, you want to just make sure everybody organizationally is on the same page.
Mike Tannenbaum, former executive with the Jets and the Dolphins, with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN, coming off the draft weekend. I know you kind of answered this ad nauseum over the weekend, but I want to ask you in front of our listeners about how you rated guys like Kyler Murray and Daniel Jones and Dwayne Haskins. I mean, who did you really like when you looked at this quarterback class?
Yeah, the one name that I really feel like has a chance to be emerged from this whole group is Drew Lock, quarterback, Missouri. He really, 46-game starter, he could have played college basketball. He's a great athlete. He can make all the throws. And if you put him, to me, Ohio State, Alabama, you were talking about a top-five pick. You know, every week they were undermanned at Missouri. And every year he got better. He got coached by a guy named Derek Dooley this year, who was a longtime coach in not only pro football, but in college football. And I think he has a bright future. And that's not to say that these other quarterbacks won't be successful, but Drew Lock, for me, was really the most complete quarterback in this group.
Why do you think I'm very high on Jarrett Stidham? I think the Patriots got an ultimate steal, because I would have picked him over Jones, and I might even picked him over Lock. I think he got, because of what happened, the rumors about Gus Malzahn earlier, the offensive line in Auburn, I don't think did a great job for him last year at all. And I think people get caught up in seniors sometimes with the last thing they saw. And I think Elway finished his career at 3-8 at Stanford. I think Pat Mahomes was 5-7. Why do you think Jarrett Stidham fell all the way to the fourth round?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. If you had asked me for the next quarterback after Locke, I would have agreed with you with Stidham. He has really good arm strength. You know, there was questions about, like, who was calling the plays at Auburn, and, you know, Malzahn taking him back over, you know, towards the end there. I agree. For New England to get him in the fourth round was unbelievable. And the fact that they didn't have to give up anything to get him is even more remarkable.
Mike, do teams tank? We talk about it in the media all the time, tank for two or whatever. And I know guys like you have, you know, jobs on the line. Maybe you don't want to tank. But does it happen?
You know, never in my experience. And, you know, organizations are filled with very competitive people. Pro football attracts really smart, competitive people that, you know, want to win, and everyone's going to try hard. Now, with that said, you know, strategically and organizationally, you know, you're going to try to line up your assets and figure out, you know, the best times to try to take advantage of opportunities. But, you know, pro football takes a lot out of the players. You know, the players I've always been around have tried the hardest. I know there's a lot of that made in the media, but look, at the end of the day, you know, teams are going to go out there and try to win as many games. And that's not to say you can't try to win for today and still try to, again, plan for tomorrow. And, again, how you aggregate your assets, trade up, trade back. So at least in my experience, you know, that's how we've always tried to handle it.
I want to ask you about the Jets a little bit, because there have been rumors like the last 6 days now Mike Maccagnan's job might be on the line. I'm trying to figure out why. And is there some friction there, you think, with Adam Gase? What's going on with the Jets?
Yeah, well, look, you know, the day you get the job as a GM, head coach of the Jets or the Giants or the starting quarterback, you're on the hot seat. You know, that's just the reality of, again, when you have the privilege of these jobs, you know, you got to put your head down, work your tail off. I had a great 3 years with Adam Gase. He's a guy that loves football. He's very passionate, a lot of energy. You know where you stand with him, you know, be it from working with, you know, the staff, the coaches, the players. He cares deeply. So I'm sure, you know, that, look, there's going to be things out there. There's always a lot of noise, especially this time of year. But, you know, Mike Maccagnan, all he could do is work hard, do the best he can, and let the chips fall where they may. And, you know, again, in New York, there's just a lot of eyeballs. You know, you're talking about the most popular sport in our country, you know, in the biggest market. And that's just, you know, part of the nature of it. And I heard Gettleman talk about it as it relates to Daniel Jones. Like, you need a certain type of person that can weather the storm there. You know, so when Daniel Jones throws his first interception, you know, like, you know, can he handle it? Can he have the mental toughness? And, you know, that goes true for people in the front office as well as coaches.
Mike, we spend just as much time down here talking about the Dolphins as we do the Buccaneers as well. Obviously, I think a good pick in Devin White. An interesting situation up front. Jason Light gets Bruce Arians in there. And, of course, we're all going to wait and see how Jameis Winston does this year. It's a very important year for him. How do you see the Buccaneers unfolding this year if you were to look at some sort of crystal ball?
Yeah, I really like what they've done on a number of levels. You know, Bruce Arians has always made the quarterback he's had better. So, you know, I think you look at some of these head coaching hirings. You know, we touched on Gase. You know, his job description, he has three, right? Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at Cliff Kingsbury, he was hired to, you know, work with the quarterback, which will now be Kyler Murray. Likewise, you know, when you look at the tandem of Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles, like, that is really hard to beat. I have great admiration for Todd Bowles. I think he's a really good coach. He has a hard pressure package that was always hard to game plan for. And I think the two of them, you know, whatever Jameis Winston has, Bruce Arians is going to get out of him. And, you know, O.J. Howard, I think, is a guy that could be a real difference maker. And Devin White is a prototypical three-down linebacker in today's game, and I think he has a chance to be really good. So I'm very impressed with what they've done. All their moves make a lot of sense to me. So it's I think they have a bright future.
Mike, final question from me, and regarding the Cleveland Browns, if you were Mr. Dorsey and you had a conversation with Freddie Kitchens about managing egos, which, I mean, obviously the talent is there, the expectations are there, but just OBJ, Landry, and Callaway alone, that's enough to give agita to anybody. So I'm wondering, you know, how you think Kitchens as a head coach is going to not just, you know, calling plays, but managing egos is so important, especially in these times in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I couldn't agree with you more. I think their biggest challenge in Cleveland is going to be not winning, you know, 49-40, or excuse me, losing 49-48, but is when they win 3-0. And I think the other challenge they're going to have there, candidly, is, you know, I think John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin are excellent coaches, and I actually personally think Freddie Kitchens is going to be really good over time, but I think it's also a little unfair, some of the expectations that are being placed upon them, because he's never coached before. You know, a year ago, he was a running back coach. And in any of these jobs, look, I was the assistant GM for 5 years. I took over as general manager. And I'm just telling you, like, I had a learning curve. Mm-hmm. And that's going to happen. And they're going to be an interesting team to watch because, look, they should be able to score. I agree. You know, Callaway is a third receiver. That they've done a great job of assembling talent. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a little while to, you know, put all the pieces together.
Well, Mike, we certainly appreciate you coming on. You did a great job this weekend.
Awesome.
We'd like to build a little bit of a relationship with you down here in Southwest Florida from time to time. So thank you for coming on and joining us.
Thanks,
appreciate
Mike.
It.
Yeah, happy to do so. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, thank you. That is Mike Tannenbaum, former executive for both the Dolphins and the Jets.